Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Diana Cruz. I'm going to be joined by Ms. Barbara Moore. Welcome to City on Hill Radio Show. And we're so glad that you've tuned in. This is a very, very important show. And Ms. Barbara, it looks like you got two lines.
Right.
Hi, Ms. Barbara. Okay.
Hey there.
Sorry, can you hear me? Okay, I'm going to let go of the other line. I think you were on twice, so I'm going to let go of the other line. Can you hear me?
Okay. I can.
Great.
Can
you're
hear
still
me?
On. Okay. Good. Well, Ms. Barbara, oh, what an eventful day. Today is October the 8th, 2018. We've had a lot of things happen in a short time span since, since last Friday, right? So we got to get started. A lot to cover. So with that in mind, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you give us some nuggets of history and wisdom and start us off with a prayer, if you don't mind.
Well, you know, Diana, I've been thinking about, as everyone has been thinking about Kavanaugh and the triumph, the victory that God gave in this man's life and in the life of our nation, for the American people, for the President of the United States. I am so proud of our president. He is doing so much, but the strength, the staunch support he gave his candidate that he nominated, standing by him in the midst of that storm, I am just so grateful for President Trump and his courage and his strength and his stamina and his refusal to bow down before the liberal media and all the leftists that have tried to destroy Judge Kavanaugh, or Justice Kavanaugh now. And I'm so grateful. I from the bottom of my heart, I am grateful for the victory that was won with Judge Kavanaugh. And so, you know, I think about in the past when we have needed the Lord so badly, so desperately, he has always been there. He has always been faithful. And of course, it reminds me of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. And we've seen that promise fulfilled. The healing of the land is still in process, okay? And we recognize that. But I believe it's coming as God's people humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek his face. I believe the healing of our land is coming. But I tell you what, but for God, this would not have taken place. So we give God all the glory, and let's just thank him together. Our dear Heavenly Father, oh God, how great you are. How magnificent you are, oh Lord. And how great is your provision for us at this time. Lord, open our eyes that we might see how truly, Father, how great you are and what all you do for us, Lord. This confirmation was impossible but for you, oh God. But you say that all things are possible with you. Father, I thank you for your people who bowed the knee, bowed the head before you, Lord, and sought your presence, your power in this situation. Father, I thank you for the strength that you gave our president and Judge Kavanaugh and his family, the persistence, the determination. Father, all that has come from you. And Father, we're just so grateful to you, Lord, that we got to see and experience this miracle that you have given, and that we got to see and experience, Father, your people doing what we need to do. Father, for all the calls that have been made, for all the prayers that have been prayed, Father, from your people, Lord, we're so grateful to be a part of it, Lord, that we're alive at this time, and Lord, that you chose this time for us to be alive and to experience all this, to see your mighty hand. Oh, Father, you are so wonderful, and we love you so much. We pray, Father, your greatest blessings, Father, upon our nation. Help us, Lord, to keep turning to you, Lord. Keep turning, keep seeking your face, bowing before you, and to recognize, Father, that the force of evil is great, but you are greater. You are greater, O God, and good will triumph over evil. Father, we know that. We read your word, and we see that, and we experience it daily, O God. Thank you, Father, for this time that we get to share on the radio show. Thank you for City on a Hill. Thank you, Father, that it was birthed in prayer, just as our nation was birthed in prayer, Lord. And Father, we seek to honor you. And Father, we just ask that it will be a blessing to those who listen. And Father, that it will meet a need, Lord. We ask you to be with us, your presence, your power, your purpose, and your plan, oh God. And we love you so very much. And it's in the powerful and most precious and most holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Barbara. Oh, that was a wonderful prayer. And it is a miracle, Miss Barbara. And I think people that are seeing how the president has really come through, you know, there are many people that did not like him, did not agree with who they thought he was. But now we have seen the man in action. And really, everything that he said, he is doing. He is staying to the truth. Yeah. And I think, Ms. Barbara, it's kind of like a child. You know, I think, you know, in his younger days, you know, and, you know, how they say we're learning from our mental health expert, Joan Landis, you know, a lot of things about the mind. But one of the things they do warn us is, you know, your brain is not fully developed until age 25. So, you know, all these things about the things that Kavanaugh did when he was a teen. I mean, let's face it, we're all growing. But what matters is what you become. And really, that's like God, isn't it? God really receives us for what we are now. He does not punish us because of what we were back then. It is really, I mean, God, if we look at God and how he does look at us, he's like, what are you right now? Do you know me as your Savior?
You know,
if you
Diana,
do,
if you're saying,
you know, there's that word forgiven.
Absolutely. And if we can put that in human terms, what parent would punish a child that is grown? What parent would punish a child for what he did when he was 3 years old? None. None. And you know, God created us in his image and likeness, and he wants us to be like him. And those feelings that we have for our children, the protection that we long to give them, the correction that we want them to have, but we don't want to hurt them. We don't want to punish them. We don't want to hurt them. You know, we do everything we can to correct them and put them on the right path and to help them make good decisions and show them right from wrong and expect and that they follow that and require that they do, you know. But we don't want to go back and punish them for something that they did when they were young and that brain was developing. And by the way, Diana, what you said about the brain developing and not fully developed until age 25, and that is, of course, Joan Landis and her expertise that we learned from. We learned that from her But I never hear that anywhere else. And that's such an important fact. Such an important fact. And I think we need to talk about it a whole lot more than we do. You know, I did hear someone say, and I know that this is true, just recently I heard someone say that when a young person whose brain is not fully developed and, you know, before the age of 25, they go on drugs or they become an alcoholic, their emotional progress stops right where they started, the drugs or the alcohol. You know, they are not developed emotionally beyond that. As long as they're in that condition and state of alcoholism or drug abuse, they don't grow emotionally and develop and mature the way they should. And so you have a lot of people adult age now that are not developed emotionally and mentally and so forth.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, and that is a really good glimpse at it, Ms. Barb, because, you know, we're dealing with a lot more these days, too. They are saying the opioid epidemic is the worst, right? But on top of that,
right.
You know, we are fighting this curriculum, this indoctrination. And so, you know, there is such an onslaught against the children that they're like, they're set up for failure. You know, I've heard that a lot, but when you really think about what you're saying just now, and then used to, you could go to school and that's where some kids could excel and get away from the troubles at home. You can't even do that because now the school is molding you, and unbeknownst to good school teachers, which I think a lot of them are opening up their eyes, they are really part of the tool now. Part of the tool that is being used to form these children into what the planners wanted them to be, which we see it more and more each day, which is, you know, you're seeing the results, the Antifa groups, you know, the young kids that are wearing masks. And I remember talking to somebody about one child that the mother found that child and was just giving him a hard time saying, you need to go on home, you know, but he was a young boy still in high school. And that's what our education system has become. One blogger, Dennis Ian, has written some really wonderful articles. And, you know, he's a 30-year veteran, retired now from education as a teacher. But, you know, he's got an article that says socialism is a new fad. And so when we look at who was at the White House at the inception of the Obama administration, it was Bill Ayers that was getting the open door, and there were plans being made. The stimulus wasn't really just to stimulate the economy. It was really to set money aside to start the snaring of the education system into what they want it to be. So a lot of parents, I think, are starting to get it because they're seeing the math and the English and they're seeing the sexualization. But now we've come a long way. I think it's kind of like the Bible says, you know, you were fed milk. Now parents have got to look at the meat, and we've got some decisions to make now.
You know, Diana, we've seen the statistics that more and more families are homeschooling their children. They're just getting them totally out of the system and back under the protection of their family, their moms and dads, and up under the authority and doing the homeschooling, but not everybody can do that. We have so many moms, single parent homes, and the moms are working to support the children, and they are not able to homeschool. That's not the solution for everybody. Although I wish it were. I wish families could be reunited in that, in their education and nurturing their children in that way. But that's just a fact of life that not everybody can do that. So we have to be involved in improving our schools. we can't leave children just to themselves and up under the burden of that. And we have to be interested. And after all, we are paying for the education of American children. Our tax dollars go toward this. And we have a right to be involved. We have a responsibility to be involved. If we love our country, we want to make sure that it's going the right direction and that children are being raised up and trained and taught to love our country, to learn about our history, to learn about the great heroes of the past as well as the present. And, you know, it is our responsibility to be involved. We take care of our own children, of course, but we also care for our neighbors. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves, and we're to care about them. We're to care about their education, and we're to be involved, don't you think?
Oh, indeed, Ms. Barbara. And I almost think that, you know, if you are selfishly looking out for yourself only, I don't think that God is happy with that. I think that's one of the main things that we, you know, why he became a man is, you know, he really cared for all of us. And I think that is pretty much, you know, how they say they break down the Ten Commandments into two things. One is to, you know, love God first.
Yeah.
But the other one is to love your fellow man as you do yourself. And so I think found that if you want your prayers answered, you need to be praying for other people first. If you want miracles to happen for you with what you want, you have got to think of others ahead. There's something that God does when he sees that you care about others. It's almost like the greatest defense or the greatest way to bless your family and yourself is really to care for others. And you see that with mental health. If you are so depressed all the time and your problems get so big, it's hard to handle when that's all you think about, right? But if you'll go outside of yourself and help other people, I think what I've heard other people say is when they're, you know, just in a really bad time in their life, when they go beyond, that's when the healing starts to happen. I think with God in the picture and helping others, it is key. And certainly with this Common Core fight, you know, if we want just to take care of ourselves, we just homeschool and take care of our kids, but that's not the way it works. I think, you know, as a whole, we've got to call the wrong that it is the wrong. And, you know, the Bible says the cowardly will not enter heaven. We keep stressing the Bible. Well, the founding fathers thought highly of the Bible. That's why we've got this great nation. And I'm thinking, if you yourself do not believe in the Bible because, you know, it's just some figment of somebody's imagination or just good writing, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's like a pastor has told me, you're fooling yourself. You know,
yeah,
the Bible is what
true.
A lot of people in this world base things on, research and, you know, and if you
That's
think
right.
yourself more highly than the Bible, you are really foolish is what I've been told.
That's right. That's right. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. But, you know, we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that applies in all different sorts of ways, including seeking the best education for our young people, all of them. You know, of course, you know, we can try to do more locally because we have more access locally than we do statewide or nationwide. But we have to be aware and do what we can in every arena, you know.
Indeed, Ms. Barbara. And I think, you know, what we saw with Kavanaugh, again, I think the conversation really got to where I think one of the turning points was when parents got involved. I heard parents saying, you know, I don't want them doing that to my son. You know, I've got daughters, but I've got sons too. And I think President Trump was a turning point, but the parents were also a turning point. And I think, again, that is so key. And now we have Kavanaugh, you know, he's on the Supreme Court. God had his way. And I think
yes,
when people start thinking rightly, you know, God comes through. It's almost like he's wanting us to, you know, it's like he's wanting us to solve it ourselves, right? I mean, the key is really you. If you will stand up for what's right, God is always behind what's right. But if you're not standing up for what's right, it's like you're not in the picture. How can things be fought for good if you're not even in the picture proclaiming what is right and good and true?
Right, right. How can we be salt and light if we don't stand up for what's right? He tells us to be salt and light to preserve what is good, to reject and remove what is evil. You know, Diana, it starts in the heart, in that inward work that God does in each one of us as we yield to him, as we give him control, as we surrender our lives to him. And you can call it different things. You can call it what you like, but it is a surrendering of ourselves to him and his ways, which are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And then it's, you know, it's a process. As we learn of him, he says, come to me and learn of me, for I'm humble and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he wants us to learn from him and of him. And as we do that, he changes us. As we pray, it doesn't change God, it changes us, you know? And as we read his word, our minds are renewed, and they are not they're not the same as they were before we surrendered our lives to him. It's a process, but in that process, as he cleanses us by his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and then we are to. We affect the outer world. It starts inside first. But as we're changed, then we automatically and naturally change that which is around us. You know, I remember going back in history. I remember in the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin, one of the things that he said in his book was just so important. But he said in Philadelphia, after the Great Awakening, and Ben Franklin was a friend of the great evangelist George Whitefield of the Great Awakening. When George Whitefield was in Philadelphia, he would stay in the home of Ben Franklin, and he would try to convert him, and I believe he did eventually. But anyway, in this autobiography that Ben Franklin wrote, he said that you could not go down the streets of Philadelphia of an evening without hearing families singing psalms together and praising God, that there had been such a change that had taken place as a result of the Great Awakening and people surrendering their lives to the Lord, and they're changed inwardly. They learn to love what God loves and to hate what God hates, and to affect their world for good, loving their neighbors as themselves, and being salt and light in their society. But isn't that beautiful? And it's an evidence of the change that took place in the lives of those who gave their hearts to the Lord.
Oh, that's so wonderful, Ms. Barbara. And I always love the way you talk about the Founding Fathers. I think you have to go back to the beginning, you know, and the beginning also is like the Word. You know, there's so much things that you can look at. Is there any basis of morality? And I heard earlier today about, well, look at Greece, you know, and look at these other great nations, Rome. Their basis was really man. And I think when you base things on man, you know, then sooner or later, immorality will reign, as we see.
Oh,
destruction will reign. But
yeah.
if you base things on God, right? I mean, the scope
yeah.
and breadth of things cannot be based on man. It has to be based on something else, grace, because man is so fallen. You know, I mean, somebody's basis of what's right and wrong is not going to be agreeable to even a minority a lot of times, you know, and perceptions just like, you know, why do a lot of people come to the United States of America? Well, it's right here. Well, freedom rings because not everybody has the same freedom, you know, all over the world. So they're coming here because this is a God-formed nation. Well, we knew the freedom was based on really the word of God. And so I think the basis of this nation is just really amazing. So I love it when you talk about the founding fathers and the history. It is exciting, and unfortunately, it's not being learned by our young. And I'd like for us to take the time to talk about a movement that's been started, which is the parents' turn with the president of the United States, POTUS. Parents' turn with POTUS. Ms. Barbu, can you talk about how important that is?
Well, you know, first of all, we recognize that this is the most accessible president probably in the history of our country. The people that get to sit down at the table with him, there have been so many from all different walks of life, and the planning that is done. By the way, you know, when the president sits down with the American people from whatever walk of life, whether it's the prison reform people or those that work in trade, whatever, and the president has had so many triumphs in everything he's done, but you know, he is accessible and he wants to listen. When he sits down with the American people, he listens. And I just love to watch that when we get to see when it's televised, because he truly listens. He wants to learn. He wants to know what's going on. So who better to speak to him about education and what is needed than parents? So, Diana, you initiated this wonderful movement to seek our president for a sit down with him, with parents, and to listen to what's going on in our schools, and to share with him what does not work as well as what works, and to really let him know what's going on. And so I'm just grateful to you that you initiated it and that we're in the process of, you know, signing our names and saying we think this is a great idea for our president to sit down with American parents and listen. And so we can make some real progress. What a leader we have in our president. You know, whatever he gets behind, he's going to make a difference. And I think probably thus far he has kind of left the Department of Education under the authority of the Secretary of Education. And I don't know that there has been this interchange that we're looking for with him. And so it's a very, very important thing, Diana.
Well, we know he loves people. He loves this great country.
Yes.
And you could tell
That's
he
right.
loves his children. Every one of them, Miss Barbara, has said such good, outstanding things about his parenting, his love for them. They have no doubt that they are loved by their parents. And I just cannot help but think that, you know, that is such a natural thing for him, that when he hears parents' hearts and how parents' hearts are almost bleeding with pain for these precious, precious, wonderful children that could be anything they want to be in this great land, but are being really, I hate to say the word, but they're being abused. They're being turned into something else than what their parents had dreamed they would be, or you know, or anywhere near really what their parents would like to see, because they experienced, a lot of these parents experienced freedom in growing up. But I think that when you sit down and hear that, there's nothing like, a, you know, building a relationship. And I love to hear him talk about, you know, the Korea, you know, North Korea, and how now he has a relationship, right?
Yeah,
with somebody that
yeah,
we found very abhorrent. But I look at that Kim Jong-un, and I think to myself, you know, he was like a child too, because he pretty much was raised to think a certain way. And I think Donald Trump, you know, that conversation made his mind think differently. So there's something about conversations, there's something about relationship. I believe it is God thing, because everybody really, you know, it's a relationship with God. It's not about works. It's about a relationship with God, and that's what the Founding Fathers knew. He wasn't just some great God up in the sky that just looks down and doesn't do anything. He is actively seeking, you know, a connection with us, you know, and just prodding things. And people just do not realize, because a lot of times they're just not listening. But if they would listen to the Founding Fathers and what the Founding Fathers experienced, how, you know, God through the midnight hour, and I'd like for you to remind him about one of the great events I always loved here, can't get enough of it, where God came through, you know. He wasn't some great God just out in the universe just looking out. He actually came through and did so many great things for the Founding Fathers so that they can win against the greatest force on earth at that time, which was Great Britain. And we're doing the same thing. We are fighting against a great force of evil right now, that of misguided people, wrongheaded people, even some that are evil. That have plans for the children to be used for their purpose, not the purpose that God said. You know, he said he has a plan, a purpose for these children, and it breaks the heart when you see how they start off in kindergarten. They're so sweet. They're so ready to go to school. But in no time at all, that excitement is gone. Instead, there's dejection, there's rejection, there's depression. You know, they can't think right. They can't even add simple 2 + 2 right, you know, and their worth is tied into it. So why are we surprised when the suicide rate has skyrocketed? And it's really almost unforgivable, what has been done. But there's time for repentance. God is always there, you know, willing that one would turn from evil. And this is evil. So this letter, you know, really is based on what we have seen in the news, which is he welcomes conversation. He welcomes people talking together and the meeting of the mind. And he'll figure out what's right and wrong. You know, he'll figure out what's true. He's got such good instinct. He is so wise. God has given him just uncommon wisdom. It's wisdom from God.
Yes, he has.
And I'm believing that's going to make the difference. So we're asking parents, there's a hashtag that's started, and we've got a friend, Mark Prezek, and he's on Twitter, and this is, you know, Mark's going to get this thing rolling. Hashtag Parents Turn with POTUS. Parents Turn. How right is that, Ms. Barbara? Parents should have a turn, you know, with our President of the United States to hear what is most a priority to most families, which jobs are important, but we work for those children. Those children are of the highest priority. They're God's gift to our families. So it's time, and we're believing, but it's going to take a whole lot of us moving. So we're asking people to go and really go to hopeinc.tv. There is a link to the article for those of you that on Facebook. You can go to Stop Common Core in Alabama. There's a link to the article on Hope Inc. TV. If you go there, you can just click on it, and it will land you to the page, and there's a letter so you can read for yourself what's in it, and then there's comments that you could put. And we would love to see people from wherever they're at make a comment. Hey, I'm Jenna from Alaska. I'm, you know, Shirley from Maine, whatever, and just put down that, you know, we want to support this. We believe parents should have a turn. And if they even want to give a testimony or some other comment, you know, feel free to do that. So that's where we would like for them to go and just show your support for this parents' turn with the POTUS. And let's get every state involved, Ms. Barbara, and let's get it done. I mean, I believe the president will welcome this. And he needs to hear it on Twitter. He needs to see it on Facebook. And so we just need to go with it. It's going to be up to us. It's going to be up to us to push it because, unfortunately, we don't have mainstream media. So it's going to
have
to be us.
You know, Diana, looking back, President Trump came out strongly against Common Core during his campaign and after he became president. And I believe that he thinks that it's being done away with in you know, through the Department of Education. It's not, but, you know, I think he needs a lot more information about what's going on, and I think he would welcome it. So I'm just really excited about this, and looking forward to going to Washington, D.C.
Well, Ms. Barbara, God will be with this, I believe, because I believe this is God's plan, you know, that the president gets to hear straight from parents. We're going to ask a lot of wonderful experts that, you know, the nation really in our area where we've been so concerned about children, they've heard of some of these names, Peg Luksic, Dr. Karen Ephraim, you know, Linda Murphy, and Donna Garner, amongst others. You know, I mean, you know, how education has their own experts, right? But these are the experts that the president needs to really heed because they have studied the ins and outs and they have solutions. There are solutions. But unfortunately, if we can't even get through the first base, which is get it to him, nothing changes. And it's been like this for the past 7 years, because really, first of all, we didn't have anybody like him that cared. You know, he cares.
Right.
And I'm believing it's going to make all the difference.
Yeah, it will make a difference. Huge. I mean, that's what we need. It is what we need. And
well, Ms. Barbara, time's going to run away. Can you believe our hour is almost up? But I would love for the people that are listening to just listen to a little bit of what really was so good about how this became a nation. It was really the act. It was providence. It was, you know, God's hand. Would you mind sharing some of those that's not being shared anymore? And people, you know, I mean, young children have no clue. They don't even know what socialism is. They're being taught in school. It's a good thing. So if you don't mind, start off with what socialism is, just to kind of get, you know, some that do not know up to what that really means. And then go into, you know, because the Founding Fathers had to deal with these isms. They dealt with communism at the very beginning. So if you don't mind, give us a little bit of that history, which it's like there's nothing new under the sun. These things have been tried before.
Right, right. Well, it goes back, you know, in our history, the Pilgrims tried a common store system. They tried it in Jamestown before the Pilgrims came, and where there was a common store for the goods that were produced, and then each person was given out of that common stock, that common the products from there, regardless of how much they worked or didn't, but each person was able to take from the community the produce from the community. It didn't work in Jamestown. They went into a starvation mode, and it was many of them died through this. It did not work with the Pilgrims. And of all the people, if you look at how good they were, what godly people the Pilgrims were, And if they couldn't make it work, I can't see anyone making it work. You know, again, they tried that common storehouse system as socialism. Socialism is about rejecting private ownership, private property. And we know right away that that's not going to work because it's not biblical. We see over and over again in the Bible that God's intention is for us to have property. First of all, our own intellectual property. Our conscience is our own property, as James Madison said. He spoke about this a great deal, wrote about it a great deal. And, you know, as well as being able to work and achieve and acquire, you know, to acquire property through our own efforts and under the leadership of Almighty God, to possess property and to dispose of property as we see fit, whether to sell it or to share it, give it, or reinvest it, whatever. And that's all through the Bible, the right of, and so this was very important. It became very important. They did not begin to thrive in Plymouth, where the Pilgrims were, or in Jamestown, in those first English settlements. They did not begin to thrive and flourish until they rejected the common storehouse, the socialism way, the communist way, and to do it God's way, where each individual is free to pursue their interests and their to achieve what they can in their own lives. It was when private property was given that each one was given a lot of land. Not a lot of land. I'm talking about a lot. a parcel of land where they would farm their own, and then they began to produce greatly from these parcels of land that they were that they owned, and they could make enough for their families, their own families, and make enough to trade and share with others. And so fast forward now from the Pilgrims and Jamestown to the other colonies as well. And this became a part of that. In fact, going to 1774 in the First Continental Congress, it an article, I think section 3, in that document that came from there, it said that everyone has the right to life, liberty, and that was the document of 1774, before the document of 1776, which Thomas Jefferson, as the primary author of the Declaration of Independence in 1776, he changed it from property to the pursuit of happiness, which would include the right of property. And that was a given. I mean, that was just, everyone knew that. And because we're created in God's image to be able to create from what he's placed on this earth, we're created in God's image to be able to achieve great things when we're free to do so. And so private property, capitalism, is very much a part of what God has planned for all of us. And we are fortunate to live in a land where we instituted a government to protect our God-given rights to and property and pursuit of happiness too.
We are so blessed, Ms. Barbara. And I just think, you know, we stand on some really broad shoulders. And we cannot let what was fought with blood, sweat, and tears be destroyed unwittingly by children who are being indoctrinated and manipulated. And yeah. that's where we're at. You know, parents, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. This is really an issue which has no party. It should be that all party is behind this. If you love your child, you know, you do not want a child being pulled like a hook with a hook. And that's pretty much what they're doing. You're, as a parent, you know, you're seeing the days of you know, children filled with laughter. They're almost a rarity. They come home and they're angry. They come home, they feel stupid. Always something wrong with the majority of them. I would think when you have those days when they're coming home feeling good, those are probably not as many as the other days. And that is a sad state of affairs. And with that in mind, we just really ask people to join in. Go to hopeinc.tv, hope, and it's I-N-K, because Hope Inc. is the Word of God. Hope, I-N-K, equals the Word of God. That's the way, you know, it really is. There is no hope without that. So we need to proclaim it. But at Hope Inc. TV, what you will find, if you're just putting that in yourself, you can go on the top of the navigation or the menu, and you'll see a weekly news summary through Stop CCIs. And there, when you click on that, you will find this week what was posted, which is a copy of this Parents Turn with POTUS letter that was sent. We need for it to be covered in prayer. And but there's so many things that really we need to be mindful of. And Hope Inc., we hope you will join and just really make some comments as to what your thoughts are. To me, Ms. Barbara, it's been a long time coming. This really is something that should have happened 7 years ago, right, with the right president then. But unfortunately, that president, you know, unfortunately, was really undermining the education system. And so we've had to wait.
Yes, he was.
We finally have a Donald Trump. Yes. And we believe that he is a man. Hey, he can listen to North Korean president, who many have called as,
you know,
evil, right? A tyrant, right? Yeah. I mean, all sorts of horrible descriptions. And, you know, here's Donald Trump sitting across the table from him and sitting behind him, going out of his way. So that there would be peace. And I believe he's going to do the same thing. So there would be peace. That the hearts of mothers and fathers and grandparents would again find peace, because the children will be put back in the right direction of being children again, learning again. I think that is a dream for Ms. Barbara, and that's certainly a dream for me. And I'm betting it's a dream for many parents. But parents,
that's
let's
right.
do it. Everything else, I know there's so many things taking your attention. Take a moment. It's probably not going to take you maybe 10 minutes to go to that website, make a comment. But with that, you are standing behind something, I believe, that's going to have some powerful repercussions, powerful results. And, you know, I love it that God's Word says our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, to the pulling down of strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And God is truth. And I think that's what's going to be unleashed, Ms. Barbara, is truth.
Amen. Amen. That's what we're praying for, that there's going to be a revival of truth, that the American people will not be easily deceived, because the Bible says if we do not have a love for the truth, that we can be easily deceived. Even the very elect of God can be easily deceived if we don't have that love of truth. And we need a revival of truth, a renaissance of truth in our land. And I tell you what, this president is the man to lead it. He's a man of truth. He speaks the truth regardless of the consequences. He's been so soundly and roundly criticized for doing just that, but he's bold and unafraid. And he goes forth.
Barbara, I'd like to also mention some of the other things that is on our Hope Inc. website. HopeInc.tv is a website. And there There is a under weekly news summary through Stop CCIs. There's latest news, and this is like a magazine. A lot of the topics are from education, news about education. So, you know, that would be a good one. Here's one right here. I'm looking at October 7th. His teacher's favorite textbooks were taken from her classroom. Must use digitized tablet materials. There's the teacher's right, you know, on what to teach being taken away. And here's one also on truth is disrespectful of diversity, says Alberta Department of Education. You know, can a society do that? You know, where truth is considered disrespectful. I'm sorry, it's not funny. But Ms. Barbara, we've got to really, as a people, start thinking right. There's so many, you know, sound bites that we hear, like, you know, Donald Trump says fake news. We do hear a lot of sound bites that are not truthful, and we hear, and not just hear, but we read. I mean, just like this topic, yeah, that should not even be a topic, right, in a Department of Education. But this is Canada, I'm thinking, Alberta Department of Education. Truth is disrespectful of diversity. So you've got to lie. If you want to respect diversity, you've got to lie. And I think I remember you from a Sunday sermon, liars will not be in heaven. So we've got really be careful, because there are calls to this. So we have to be careful. We need to we really need what the founding fathers knew was where their help came from, which was God. We need God. And so there's this, so that people can check that out and see weekly or even, you know, daily, what the latest news are in regarding to education. And, of course, there's one that says, will the church awaken? And when you look at that, oh, this is really a sample of what was said by David Barton when he came to a conference. David Barton is so full of information about how the founders used to do math. I mean, people would just be shocked. And really, we'll understand, we have dumbed down the minds of children, because the mental math that the founding fathers used to do, I think, is what's considered genius level ciphering these days. It was just incredible. But I think really the secret was the Word of God. There's something to the Word of God. If you read it, parents, if you're a believer, if you're not a believer but you want your child really smart, start letting them read the Bible. It does something. It's a wonder. It's not a drug, but there's a wonderment in reading the Word of God. There's something spiritual that happens to your body, your mind. I believe we're just unleashing the powerful words of God. But there's some samples here, and one of the thing on this page is a mother who had twins, and her story when first Common Core came into the picture. She had twins. One had been diagnosed as ADHD and had gotten help, but then Common Core came. That young man had started putting things in his a mother's refrigerator door, just very excited because he was now able to take part in the classroom, right, be involved. Well, Common Core came, took away that, nothing on the refrigerator door anymore, and it got so bad to the point that the child would run out of the school and would rather be, you know, almost got run over. Just, he could not deal with it. But that's one of the heartbreaking stories, and that's why we fight. There's so many of those heartbreaking stories out there, and it's time that we fight for these children and we let the President of the United States hear so that he can fight for these children. He's tried to let other people do it that he trusted. Unfortunately, it's not getting done. So we're going to go to him and ask him to hear, and God will be with us. So with that in mind, Ms. Barbara, I'm going to close. You got some closing thoughts or closing words for parents that's thinking, okay, I don't have time to show some support of this? How important do you think this is?
Well, I have great sympathy and empathy for busy parents these days. They're just trying to keep their heads above water and do what they can for their children. This website will be of tremendous help to them. And if they can take even, you know, 10 minutes a day to try to learn and keep abreast, that would be very, very helpful to them.
Close us in prayer. And I did not even go into what's also in the website, which is the Champions for Christ Club, Ms. Barbara, that you have started and have been doing for 5 years and has really helped the school where you were doing it to become one of the best in the state in math. And parents need to hear that about that idea of the Champions for Christ Club and also Joan Landis is the Kids CEO Club, where kids can really put themselves to school, even help put themselves through private school. So there's good ideas in there. There's God ideas in there. And the latest, of course, is this hashtag Parents Turn with a POTUS. We believe that's a God idea. We're going to be listening to God, and may He find us being faithful. So I'm going to close in prayer.
Yes.
And if you'll join us, Ms. Barbara, as always, you know how we like to get a word. We like to get a word from God, and I love to do what Ann Graham Lott says, which is to just let the Holy Spirit turn her, you know, to the word that maybe for this day, maybe not, but there's something so awesome asking God for a word and finding out, okay, what He's wanting you to hear today. So I've had my Bible out. It's here in my kitchen, and I want to ask Him for a word for the listeners and for us for such a time as this. And I'm turned to Luke 12. Okay, it says 27, Luke 12, 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Miss Barbara.
What an encouragement.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to ask God to, Lord, please help us, bless us, help us to be about your business, Lord, of seeking the kingdom of God. Lord, Heavenly Father, you said it is our Father's good pleasure to give us a kingdom. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you bless the children, that you give their parents hope to make a difference. Help us, Lord, to come together, to unite together, Lord. And Lord, may that time to sit down with the president and the parents come true. And we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diane.
Okay, everybody. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Goodbye, everybody. God bless you. And please pray all the time without ceasing, God says. Goodbye.
Goodbye.